Hello, welcome to the Deep Spirituality Podcast. If you're just joining us, we are launching our first ever book written by our editor-in-chief, Russ Yule. We are going to take today's podcast episode to share with you a sneak preview of the audiobook version of the book, He's Not Who You Think He Is, Dropping Your Assumptions and Discovering God for Yourself, which is out now on Kindle and paperback, and we expect the audiobook to come out soon. So if you want to buy the book, we'll have a link in the show notes. And it's been really inspiring reading what some of you have been sharing about the book in your reviews and in the emails that you guys have been sending in. And we're grateful for your support and excited that more people are able to grow in their relationship with God because of it. So today we'll have a teaser of the audiobook, which we expect to be available in the coming weeks. But first, let's hear from the author himself. In this section, Russ, you describe going through a spiritual burnout cycle. You share three stories that illuminate turning points you had when you were in the burnout cycle: the river, the tree, and best friends. I'll read an excerpt from the section of the book, chapter 3, When People Become God. I don't remember exactly how it came to me, but it was clear. Reflecting on each of my significant moments of spiritual burnout, I saw a definite pattern. Each instance of a collapse into spiritual failure was preceded by an ever-increasing preoccupation with people. That day under the tree may well have been the most significant day of my life. I made a promise that going forward, I would never allow myself to care more about the opinions of people than I did about the opinions of God. It changed my life. Making a similar decision will change yours as well. So Russ, what would you say to someone who feels stuck in this cycle right now?
Well, the first thing is people aren't the enemy. So that's not the point. The point is that we can make anything an idol, where we begin to prioritize emotionally, mentally, and spiritually a thing, an event, or a person over God. And so what I had to come to the conclusion of is I was tightly wound and very stressed and overwhelmed, not because of God or the Bible or what the Bible calls us to do or live like. It was because I was so preoccupied with people. And so what does a person have to do? It's a real challenge to live your life measuring it by how God feels about you instead of measuring it by how people feel about you. Here's the beauty of that. In 1 John 4, which I don't think that's in this chapter per se, but in 1 John 4 and about verse 18, it talks about the fact that in following verses, it talks about the fact that when we love God and are loved by God, then really we're able to not have any fear. And what that's talking about is the more we love God and the more we focus on God, the more we can love people. And so the beauty of this chapter, the river, the tree, and my friends, is one, it was just a humbling time in my life. And in order to get to a place where you no longer are consumed by people, you have to take a path of humility. It doesn't mean humiliation, but it means a letting go. And in letting go, you're letting go of looking at people as a way to measure your success level, and instead of looking at people as a relationship and someone to care about. It's probably the most significant chapter in describing what changed me than any of the other chapters in the book.
Amazing. With that, let's listen to the audiobook.
The river, the tree, and my friends. Answer me, Lord, answer me, so these people will know that you, Lord, are God, and that you are turning their hearts back again. 1 Kings 18:37. I have experienced the spiritual burnout cycle I have just described on more than one occasion in my Christian life. Each time I could have blamed God or the church, but doing so would have only deepened my focus on people. To truly recover the gift of freedom God had offered me, I needed to return to Him. Returning to Him was the only way I could stop living for people, stop being afraid of being different, and rediscover what it meant to think differently. In short, I needed to experience a turning point. Over the years, I've learned that God is always guiding me toward these turning points so that He and I can enjoy an ever-increasing closeness. Three of these turning points in particular have helped me in some of my most difficult times, and I want to share them with you. The river. Then I came to the colony of Judean exiles in Tel Aviv, beside the Kebar River. I was overwhelmed and sat among them for 7 days. Ezekiel 3:15, NLT. The first turning point in my spiritual life came when I considered leaving God and the church. I didn't like how my life was going. On the one hand, I loved the person I had been before I came to church, and I missed him. I also loved who I had become with God and longed to be that person too. I felt torn between both worlds, and I was experiencing a crisis of faith. I was overwhelmed, like Ezekiel, who sat by the Kebar River. Interestingly enough, I found my own river. One spring night in my sophomore year of college, I walked out of my dorm room and took a walk that overlooked the Charles River in Boston, Massachusetts. I told God that I didn't much like where my life was at and that, in my mind, I needed to make a decision. Either I was going to remain in the church for the rest of my life, or I was going to leave now. It was a long walk. There was no one on this walk with me, except God. I didn't consult with my family members or friends about this decision. As young as I was in the faith, I realized that God was my reason for being there. This was not a decision about membership in a human organization, but a question of how I would treat God. He, and He alone, would be most affected by my leaving the church. I decided to stay. But that wasn't the most important thing that happened on that warm spring night in 1980. The most important thing was that, at a crucial turning point, I established a pattern of going to God for an answer, rather than to people. This lesson has served me well throughout my life. I encourage you to do the same. The tree. Then he went on alone into the wilderness, traveling all day. He sat down under a solitary broom tree and prayed that he might die. "I have had enough, Lord," he said. "Take my life, for I am no better than my ancestors who have already died." 1 Kings 19:4, NLT. Something I've tried to learn from the turning points in my life is that when I feel like I have failed, I need to keep the drama to a minimum. I can remember the failures of my spiritual life quite vividly, and when retelling the stories, my usual practice is to recall them with great drama. Through the years, my wife and close spiritual friends have helped me to understand that I have often blown these stories up to be much more than they really were. This is not surprising, since I am a very emotional person. Perhaps you are like me. Perhaps you are like Elijah. Both of us ended up under a tree, feeling extremely defeated and highly emotional. My time under the tree came after a series of big spiritual wins. Riding high on pride, I thought I had arrived. I became enamored of myself, my ability to lead, and my ability to attract attention. As one might imagine, my interest in God had declined. My energy was being fueled by how people felt about me. This felt so good that I was losing my desire for God. It wasn't long before I crashed and burned spiritually. Suddenly, I found myself sitting under a tree in the city of Cambridge, Massachusetts, contemplating spiritual failure. How had I gotten myself into yet another spiritual mess? How did I turn spiritual success into failure so quickly? I sat there for a long time, sometimes reading my Bible, at other times praying, and all the time waiting for an answer. I don't remember exactly how it came to me, but it was clear, reflecting on each of my significant moments of spiritual burnout, I saw a definite pattern. Each instance of collapse into spiritual failure was preceded by an ever-increasing preoccupation with people. That day under the tree may well have been the most significant day of my life. I made a promise that going forward, I would never allow myself to care more about the opinions of people than I did about the opinions of God. It changed my life. Making a similar decision will change yours as well. Best friends. And Saul's son Jonathan went to David at Horesh and helped him find strength in God. 1 Samuel 23:16. Throughout my spiritual life, I've had no shortage of people ready to give me both positive and negative input. Every time I have experienced spiritual burnout, there have been people ready with their assessment, judgment, or even criticism. Some have meant well, others have meant harm, but none of them mattered nearly as much as those who pointed me to God. From my earliest days as a Christian, God has guided me to people who were God-centered and would help me find strength in God. I can still remember my first spiritual best friend. The inscription in his day planner described a man named Enoch, whose relationship with God was so close that God didn't allow him to die. Instead, God brought Enoch straight to heaven. Enoch walked faithfully with God. Then he was no more, because God took him away. Genesis 5:24. God guided me to marry my wife, Gail, because she is a person who places great value on pleasing God and helping people, not performing for them. Without her, my relationship with God would probably have been sacrificed to selfish ambition years ago. Her guiding scripture passage for me has always been Psalm 90, and she continually urges me to be satisfied with God rather than seeking the praise of people. Satisfy us in the morning with your unfailing love, that we may sing for joy and be glad all our days. Psalm 90:14. In the Bay Area Christian Church, where I serve as part of the leadership team, I am surrounded by men and women who have little interest in the politics of a church or a position. Their primary interest is in developing a passionate walk with God. Friendships in a spiritual family like this keep me focused, safe, and pleasing in God's sight. I hope you will find your own river, tree, and best friends to help you successfully navigate the turning points in your own life. When we make God our primary focus, being a part of a church is an exhilarating and inspiring experience. When God is our focus, we aren't afraid to be different or think differently. Together with our spiritually minded friends, we will fulfill the destinies to which God has called us. With this strength, we can make God attractive and build churches that inspire the community and world around us. As we move forward into our next chapter, we will examine yet another threat to our focus on God: emotion. We will learn how the emotional crises in our lives can distort our view of God and cause us to turn away from Him. We will also see how we can understand and manage our emotions in a spiritual way so they enhance rather than diminish our walk with God.
And that rounds out our sneak preview of Deep Spirituality's new book, He's Not Who You Think He Is, Dropping Your Assumptions and Discovering God for Yourself. Find it on Amazon for paperback, Kindle, and Audible for audiobook. You can also visit deepspirituality.com for links and additional resources for the book. we want to say a big thanks to Fleet Cooper for coming on board to record the audiobook, as well as the whole team here at Deep Spirituality to make this book possible. We'll have links in the show notes for all of this, so you can make sure to check it out. If you like what you're hearing, take a minute to rate and review the show. 5 stars would help us out a lot. And make sure to share about the show with your friends on Facebook or any other social media platforms. This is Deep Spirituality. We'll see you next time.